Welcome to everyone here this morning, and greetings in Jesus' precious name, the one that gives us everything that we need for life and godliness. And that's all that's important actually in your life is what is life and godliness. Well, I hope you had a wonderful week. And I know if you was at conference on Wednesday and Thursday evening, it helped boost a wonderful week. That was some of the, well, I don't like to rank sermons, but I tend to. They were the over the top good. And you might not have been able to be there. I'm not sure how many were there. We didn't go around looking for everybody. But if you wasn't there, they have CDs. And they have this, is it podcast? I'm not sure what it's called at the Pike. It's their opportunity. You need to make it a priority to listen to those sermons. Because it'll bless you. It'll encourage you. You that are there know what I'm talking about. Looking at apostasy, he just made it a beautiful heart issue. You know? And he said a lot of things to encourage us, you, and us together to be strong in the Lord and to build ourselves up in the most holy faith. Well, you know, you might not know how it is, but us preachers, we don't always know what to preach on. But the Lord laid something on my heart that was something I need on a pretty regular basis. You ever preach on something you need? Well, you know, when he's speaking to us, it kind of like just flows in and then back out. So I was thinking about this. And then here, lo and behold, the thought of the week last Sunday was, do you remember what it was? That's okay if you don't, because I know it was just at the bottom of your sheet. You kind of look in, bling, it's going. Well, I happen to notice a little different, right? Because the Lord laid something on my heart. Satan tries to limit your praying because he knows that your prayer will limit him. That's a lot of truth to that. You know that? Well, you know, I was thinking about this because prayer is a very important discipline. And I hope you're highly disciplined. But even if you are, disciplines are hard to maintain. Good biblical disciplines are challenging to maintain. It seems like bad habits are easy to get in and maintain. But good habits, biblical habits, are in another bracket. But so important. And yet so important that they're maintained. Then we just sang about that heavenly home. That every one of us want to go there. The city of light among the stars. And I tell you, friends, if we miss that, we've missed everything because life was wasted. And then we sang, let us pray for each other, nor faint by the way. Because there's a direct correlation between praying and fainting. Luke 18:1 says, now this might be a little jumbled because this isn't what I planned to say up front, but okay, this is the way the Spirit leads. Got to say this. Luke 18:1 says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, why did Jesus put that together? Well, you ought always to pray and not to faint. You know why? If you don't pray like you should, you're going to be fainting. You ever think of that? Now, you know, have you ever fainted before? I'll tell you, it's a good thing when you wake up. Because I had a couple where I won't get into it, but because, you know, you wake up and your world's just going around like this. This is what happened to me because I was not cuckoo, evidently. And I was out for a little while, and it was wonderful to wake up. Well, the thing is, I thought, you know, how many of you fainted? You know, it was not a pleasant experience. We think of fainting, you're just totally out of it. You know what it means in the Greek? Let me see, where did I get that? Well, it means to be weary. Where is it at? I had it wrote in here somewhere. I can't even find it at the moment. You know, to be weary, to struggle. It isn't exact words, but it has that thought of struggling and being. Is it the word? Is it? Oh, here it is. I found it. Weak. This is the Greek, okay? Now, this is English. This is what it meant when it said that, to not to faint, okay? You see, well, I haven't fainted. Well, I've been in this bracket before all too often. Weak, fail, be weary. Now, how long has it been since you fit in that bracket? Maybe not too many years ago. You know, it might be just a little closer than you thought. The songwriter had it pretty good when he said, oh, how praying rests the weary. Prayer can change your night to day. And when life seems dark and dreary, just keep on praying, okay? Don't forget to pray, okay? Don't forget to pray. I mean, well, Well, that's maybe the way we are sometimes, at least I am sometimes. You know, so I thought it'd be good to maybe look at an example of this. Let's go to Daniel. Daniel 6. Daniel 6, verses 1 to 9. And it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over the three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should not have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because of an excellent spirit was with him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel according to the kingdom, but they could not find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. And all the presidents of the kingdom and governors and princes and counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save the king, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, for it that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore the king there signed the writing and the decree. Now, it is interesting to think about this situation. If I understand correctly, we read about Daniel, and he started out pretty good, evidently, because most of you aren't shipped or transported to another country where that you have to try to maintain your walk of faith with a bunch of heathen around. But that is what you're trying to do. I mean, you know, this is not a Christian country, correct? You are in Egypt, for sure. You might as well recognize that, because otherwise we'll be a simulating worldliness and not caring about it. We are in a heathen country, for sure. But, you know, he was willing to stand up and out. I think every Christian stands up and out for Jesus in their society. Does that sound okay? I think he did. You know, so when he's about 17 years old, the scripture says, and Daniel purposed in his heart he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested the princes of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. I think that was a tremendous challenge, because for most of us to eat some meat and to enjoy good food, it would not be considered something that we would mind to do, just to put it honestly. Now, we do know that it was probably against the Jewish laws that what they were doing. But he was willing to say, look, I am a man of conviction, okay? That's what he would say. I'm going to purpose in my heart. And thank God that we as youth, can have some convictions. Now, granted, I know most youth is a time, you know, when we grow and we want to do what's right. And it's also a time when we do a lot of things we regret, too. I'll just say that honestly. But, you know, if we're a person of purpose and conviction and biblical fortitude, and are trying to follow him, and are trying to do what's right, and are willing to stand up and be counted, we will make a lot less regrets. And what a wise man this was. And then not too much later, he was thrown into quite a predicament, because the king had a dream. He said, I forgot the dream. I want to know the interpretation of the dream. And by the way, I forgot the dream also. And I don't know if you've ever been in a bind, but that'd be a big bind for me. And otherwise, if you don't just do it, you get to die. I mean, in other words, we're just going to kill all y'all guys because y'all don't know what you're talking about. And I think that'd be a fairly big challenge. And I have a sneaky feeling, I don't know. I have a sneaky feeling the king had a faint idea what the dream was. You know why I think that? Because those astrologers could have just made up something. But they, for some odd reason, they weren't very inclined just to make up something. I think so. I don't know. I mean, I'm reading between the lines too much because I don't know what the Bible doesn't say. But I do know what it does say, that he besought God. He besought God. And God interpreted that dream, and he gave God all the glory. Now, this is he's a youngster. You know, you youngsters here, 30 and down, that's youngster range nowadays. He was beseeching God, and that was the way of his life. Now, I understand chapter 5, and this chapter 6 is the one after that. This is approximately 60-some years later. Now, I don't know if you thought about it now. So he was 80-plus. How many of you are 80-plus here? Praise the Lord. Now, I see a few sisters. That's wonderful. Any brethren here? Okay. Well, we must die young. You see, we generally do. But I'm glad some sisters, because it is good to have some good golden oldies among us that have went through life and have a lot to tell us. Well, this is Daniel. I know when you're younger, you don't think about much about being old. But you might as well start thinking about it, because what you're doing is setting the premise of what you're going to be when you're old. And I tell you, friends, that has a lot to do with it. You don't get sanctified when you're 75 or 80. Now, you can. And I praise God, if you're 70 here and you're not walking with the Lord can cleanse your hearts. And we can repent and we can grow in him. That's wonderful. But if we really want to count and be a blessing in the kingdom, that's the only reason why any of us were born, was to be a blessing in the kingdom of God. That's your sole purpose for walking on planet Earth, is to be glory to God. That's your only reason. If you miss that, you missed everything. And if you do that, you're going to make it to heaven, the city of light. You see what I mean? You have done last week was going to set the course of what you're going to be when you're 80, if the Lord gives you grace to live to 80, and you'll come back before then. Well, as you get my age, you think a little bit more about that. So I just figured I might as well encourage you to start thinking about it now, because that's going to happen. If he tarries, you're going to think about these things. Am I meeting the sole purpose of why I'm here? Am I doing that? Because that's how you get value in life. That's how you're blessed by God. That's how you have him with you to lead you through the struggles of living in this heathen nation. And what a tremendous blessing. So we meet this old man. And, you know, he had quite a challenge. Before we look at the challenge, there in verse 3, though, said he had an excellent spirit. I think that's what God wants in all of us, an excellent spirit. You know, I don't know what all that meant, but that's just incredible to think he had an excellent spirit. Because when you're older, I'm not speaking for anybody else but myself. No, I have heard this. Yeah, I did. It's easy to talk about your aches and pains because you wasn't used to them 10 years ago, and you're afflicted with a few. But here's a man that's old, and he's talking about, you know, man, you know, my left hip, you know, or for me, it's my right shoulder, okay? You know, I could expound on that for a good while, but to no avail. It won't, you know, won't help you, and it won't help me. And so it won't bring God glory either. And he had to think of excellent spirit. You know, was it just because he was so cooperative and easy to work with? Would that make the excellent spirit? Maybe he wasn't abrasive like a lot of people. Or was he just easy to work with all the time? Or did he show a Holy Spirit sweetness? I mean, this man did not get out of the bed or the wrong side on a regular basis like some of us are tempted to do. So he was sweet, he was gentle, easy to get along with. Oh my, that'd be so wonderful to be said of all of us men. Or was it because he was able to discern things? Which the Holy Spirit gives for us today, to discern the paths of evil. Discern. Or did he have all three? I like to think maybe he had all three. And you know what? I think We can have all three, okay? Meaning we can be quiet, we can be easy to work along with. That's wonderful. We can have the joy of the Lord in our hearts, and we can wake up and we're a pleasant person. I mean, and that isn't just positive mind. I like being around positive mind people. You know why? Because I don't like being around negative people. That's why. But the thing is, God made us all. And yet I firmly believe that when the Holy Spirit enters our lives, we have a positive outlook because Jesus is in our hearts. He's ruling. We're having a good life in him. And that's the most blessed life. There's so many people that want to have what you and I have when we have Jesus. And we have that joy and companionship for victory. And that's such a tremendous blessing. You have it. Rejoice in it. You know? And you have a discernment. You know, I'm not going to do this. You know, I won't go there. I won't say that. I don't want to do that. Because why? I'm not trying to make guidelines for you because I want to live a holy life. Because the only Holy Spirit on the earth resides with holy people. And I want his Holy Spirit. I need his Holy Spirit. It's a privilege for us to have his Holy Spirit. I'll do anything to maintain the walk. I'll do it. That's what I get the feeling from Daniel when he was young. And I tell you, friends, he didn't leave the pathway. Here he is, 80 years old. And they're saying he has an excellent spirit. I hope that can be said of every saint here this morning. They have an excellent spirit. Because Jesus in their life just making them shine. Just making them a glory. Oh, how beautiful. Well, that's what God wants for us today. And I wonder, it says in Proverbs 3, verses 3 and 4, it says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck and write them upon the table of thy heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Okay. Well, you know, we sometimes... I think we worry about being in favor with men. I like to say we're in favor with godly men, okay, godly people. Let mercy and truth, don't let them forsake thee. That's a well-balanced person. Well, they live with truth. The Bible, the truth, is their leader, and they do it with mercy and gentleness, okay? If you got that down pat, praise the Lord. If you don't, keep working, because that's where I'm at. Thank you. Letting God work on me, because that's beautiful. So, but these people were jealous of him. and they didn't like it. And you know, a lot of staler people, get jealous. I wonder how much, actually, less friction there would be even in brotherhood if there wasn't jealousy. Hope you're not jealous. But I can be envious. Excuse me, is that a sanctified word for jealousy? I don't know. I'm trying to think through this here. We do set examples in our life, you know, and so we can kind of admire somebody, okay? And who do we admire? You know, is it a godly person? Is a person, you know, these people were jealousy, and so they wanted to get rid of him. And it's just hard to think that a man would fall for this. Now, I'll tell you. Did you imagine the king would sit there and say, you know, that you can't ask petition of anybody else but me? I mean, you're talking about self-centered. Now, I know that there's a lot of self-centered people. I mean, YouTube is full of self-centered people. Social media is full of it. Selfies is full of selfies are selfish people taking selfies. You know, I can't believe a person would take a picture of themselves and send it out. I mean, it's bad enough if somebody else takes a picture of me and sends it somewhere. But how about taking it of yourself? Well, excuse me, I'm just going on one of my little gripes, but okay. Self-centered people. This king... And our world is full of self-centered people, okay? And they fall for, this looks ridiculous. Well, some other things look ridiculous too, we're starting to see nowadays, okay? Let it not be once named among us, please, God would say. God would say that. Because look how ridiculous to sit there and say that. To sit there and say, you know, I'm so self-centered. Oh, it's all about me. You come to me. You know, you come to me. Well, that's what this world is full of nowadays, and we don't want to have anything to do with it. Well, but Daniel was willing to stay connected. He said, I don't care what. I guess I should read verses 10 to 11 says, and now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and with his window being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he knelt upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime, as he did constantly. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before the God. Now, that really says a ton. Now, praying is warfare, and it's a challenge. But you know, I've seen people go in the restaurants that were Christians and couldn't any more than bow their heads for about 3 seconds and pop back up. They were so ashamed. Or something was going on. Now, I don't know. I dare say that none of us have been told, if you pray like you should, you're going to be thrown to the lions. I'd call that pretty intimidating. I really would. And I don't think Daniel would have said, oh, I just know my God's going to deliver. This is nothing. I think he had fear and trembling in him. I think he was truly human, as you and I would. You've all probably been to a zoo, and you don't have to be a zoo to know that you would respect the den of lions. You would respect that thought. And, you know, we're going to die one way, but I don't think that would be the most ideal way to die. You know, and I don't think he did either. I'm just saying I think it was pretty intimidating, okay? I think you'd call it that too. He didn't miss a beat, did he? Now, I had to think, what would I have done? I'd be thinking of some creative things, I think. I don't know if they're from God or from the devil. I'm not sure which one, but I'd be thinking something. Because, you know, what if he went into his closet and prayed? Would that have been wrong? He thought it was wrong. In other words, when he saw this challenge, he didn't think of ways of escape. And that's what I tend to do myself. You know, how can I do what I should do and not really stand out? I don't want to die early. You know, who said they'd be dying early? If Daniel would have died early, he'd be dying early. Well, maybe in his own eyes, but not in God's eyes, right? See, he was saying, look, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to open my window up. And let me tell you, this wasn't a little blessing for the food. I don't get any ideas that thank you for the good food and a lovely day. Keep it safe and everything. Amen. You know, like, you know, sort of these some things we hear. I don't think there's anything there. Like 3 times a day, he had a real session with God. You know why? He absolutely knew what I and we need to remember. Our spiritual walk is very, and strength in our spiritual walk is directly correlated to our time talking and with God. No wonder he says, go into your closet, shut the door and meet me. That's what God said. Now, I don't know if you have a closet. And I'm not saying it has to be a closet because I don't really prefer closets, actually. But have a place where you pray. Shut the door. Meaning what? Get out all the earthly thoughts. Oh, what am I going to do tomorrow? Oh, what do I need to do right? You know, it's in the morning. You know, if you have the closet time in the morning. What am I going to do? I need to get going, you know. And all those things the old devil brings in there, right? You know what I'm talking about? Maybe it doesn't happen to you, but it does to me. You know, and you keep him hard to think, we've got to make this quick. We've got to get, I'm already about five minutes behind time. And maybe you don't even worry about being punctual. Some of us do. And so you're in a hurry. God says, shut the door. Get all those earthly things behind you. It is an amazing thought just to think that God Almighty, that knows everything and handles everything, manipulates the hearts of men, has actually planned that our president would be elected and our last one would be unelected. You know what I mean? All that in the plans, and he can make everything happen. He says, I want to talk to you today. I want to have a personal relationship with you today. You don't live on yesterday's prayers. You need to look forward to tomorrow's prayers, but you're going to live with him today. Well, I'm going to walk with him today. It's almost unfathomable that a God Almighty cares so much about you individually that he says, I want to hear your prayer. Now, we sang one of those songs, said something about, what was that song, one verse we sang, brother, where's he at? We sang that one verse, something, praying in trouble. You know, when we get in trouble, I know something, when we get in trouble, man, we can really, my father called pray up a storm. I don't know what kind of storm we're praying up, but he called it praying up a storm. And when we get in trouble, we tend to do that. That's an interesting thought. How about praying when you think things are going okay? Because that's hopefully the way life, I think that's the way God wants our life to be a good bit of the time. In other words, he don't want to always you in trouble. And I know he wants to get you to test you, because that's how you, the real you, is revealed. It's not revealed in the good times. It's revealed in the tough times. Do you ever notice that? I mean, like when a person gets to bind, they just go off. Well, that's the real them. Yeah, I mean, you know. When the tough times come and you go to your knees, that's the real you. Because they're doing it all the time. See, that's what he was doing all the time. He needed God all the time. And we do need God all the time. You know, people say, I've heard people say, what all should I pray about? Burden people pray. And if you aren't burdened about anything in your own life, look at society. Look at your neighbors. And you don't have any close kin that don't need prayers. You don't have people in the church that are struggling and you care. I mean, how do we show we care? Yes, we talk. We say we care. And we say sometimes, I'll pray for you. And then sometimes I wonder, now, okay, in the next week, how many times you can pray? How many times you really go pray for me? Well, pray for your church leaders. If you don't have anybody else on the list, pray for me. Pray for me often. Friends, I tell you, we are living in perilous times, and us leaders need your prayers. We really, really do. Because we pray for you. We pray for you. We need to pray for each other that we don't faint by the way. Because see, great men, people, kneel before God. They're known for that. And they don't have just little short sessions. They know that without God's discernment and power in their life, they're not going to make it. They know that. And so they pray diligently. Romans talks something about be instant in prayer. And I thought, isn't that the American way? Instant prayer. We pray on the fly. Aren't you glad you can milk cows and pray, or drive a truck and pray? I heard a man say, oh, my prayer, I drive on. And when I'm driving to work, it's about 20 minutes, I pray. God bless you if you do that. But I can tell you another thing. If that's your main prayer life, you're hurting. You're going to be hurting. You need a real session with God. You need a real session with God, because he knows that we need him. But he's not going to guide us unless we say, God, I want you to lead me. Help me be what I need to be. Work through this situation. Work with people's hearts. You know, we need your guidance. Oh, you know what instant means? To constantly persevere. Instant in the New Testament, there in Romans, means to constantly to persevere. It isn't anything instant. It's actually just the opposite of the instant. We would say, spend a long, good session in prayer. That's what we'd say it today. I've been living on a farm a few years of my life. And we had, when I lived in Bridgewater, we had cows. We put in a small pasture. It was a dirt lot, and then it became something else lot, mud lot, and whatever lot. And them cows, we had shoddy fences. And you know what makes a shoddy fence work? Go about 18 inches before it, put one strand of electric, and Holstein cows will respect that to the tilt. Now, I don't know. I don't think beef respect anything, evidently, from what I hear. But Holstein cows will respect that to the tilt. And it was interesting. You just have one good shocker. We had a good shocker. They go, and I don't know if they can smell it, but I do know what they do. I do know. When their nose is good and moist, they go, they smell it. Zap! And it burns them. I mean, they back up. I mean, they're not within 5 feet of that fence for practically the rest of their life, unless they lose their mind. And that works real well. It works real well. And they had a problem one time. They come up there, and then all of a sudden, they was going through the fence. They going through the fence. What is going on? The shocker. Went the shocker there, and they're zap, zap, zap. The shocker was working. The source of the power was working. Fence was worthless. You know, and so I went over and I redid the fence that they got through, got the cows in, redid the fence. Within 24 hours, they're back out in the cornfield. Yeah, this isn't working. And the wire looked fine. Like, what is going on? Then I said, look, there's got to be a little closer examination here. This isn't working. Here I found out the insulated wire that was in the shocker in the dryer on the silo, going around the silo, somehow, rather than being hooked on the fence, it fell off and was laying in the mud. And guess what? The fence become worthless without the power. It's the same way we are. See, the shocker was working. God has all that power. And he says, look, yeah, I can handle your problem. If you don't have a problem, don't hold your breath, because you'll have one. Because the devil always wants to test us, to tempt us. And God actually wants to test us, to make us true. And I thought, you know, isn't that the way I am sometimes? You know, here he has all that wisdom and power. He said, I want to give it to you. And you get it on your knees, beseeching him. It's there, but you don't get it unless you pray. See, communication is always two ways. You know, if you tell me all your profound truths, that's great. But, let's say it this way. If I tell you all the profound truths I know, that's wonderful. But if it ain't a two-way conversation, it really isn't a relationship, right? I mean, you can sit there and think, well, that guy thinks he's smart. And that's about all you think. You know, it don't do you much good. But it's just two-way. See, God has spoken to us by his word. And we know that's important to read the Bible. And what a blessing we have to have the word of God in our hands. And yet he says, he tells us, look, am I going to be like Daniel? You know, how am I? So scripture says, my house is going to be a house of prayer. Now, I don't know what you think. Is the Peak congregation known as a house of prayer? I'm assuming it is, okay? And but that's what other people would think, that y'all just love prayer. Two things I have to say. If my house is this house of clay, okay? You're here roaming around in a house of clay, and it does what you as a person want to do. And if you are a real prayer warrior, one thing I noticed, you'll love prayer meeting. Is there any amens here? If your house is a house of prayer and you have a fervent, diligent prayer life, you will love prayer meeting. Have you ever noticed that? I'm just as human as all the rest of you. And sometimes it comes prayer meeting night, and I say, I'm so tired today. I'd love to stay at home. Or I could do something else. I mean, I could chop corn. I mean, I could do all of these other things that aren't important. But out of duty, maybe sometimes, I hate to say it, but I'd like to say it should be for love of prayer, I go to church. And we have a good prayer meeting. Every time I've done that, I've been glad I went. I've been refreshed spiritually. Every time. They have said, and I think there's some truth to this, you can tell the spiritual climate of a church by the percentage of people that come to prayer meeting. I hope that encourages you in the Lord. I hope that encourages you in the Lord. Because see, if we love Jesus the way we should, and we're following him, and we want to go from victory to victory, friends, there's no just secret keys for you that aren't the same for me, or vice versa. You know what I mean? We read the word and we say, God, help me. Give me discernment. Help me stand. You think that was easy for Daniel to sit there and say, oh, it don't make no difference. I'm going over this window. I'm going to open the window. And I'm going to face toward Jerusalem, because he knew that's what he should do. And he said a long session before God. What kind of person was he? The same kind that God wants from you and me. That's what he knew. For him to die right, he had to live right. And for him to live right, he had to have Jesus and God in his life. And there's no secret keys here. It's just plain, good, spiritual life. And it's beautiful. Wow. A man, we look at him and say, Daniel, you can do, we together can do and be just like Daniel. And let me tell you, friends, in this world we're living in, he needs lots of Daniels. He needs lots of Daniels. And you know what makes it beautiful about brotherhood? We can all be Daniels together. We can all be Daniels together. That's so beautiful. Well, It's such a battle. I'll just tell you, it's a battle. You know why? The devil's not restricted. If you don't go into, it will limit. Satan tries to limit your praying because he knows that praying will limit him. Amen. He's not restricted in your life the way he could be if I'm not praying the way I should be. What a tremendous blessing it is. I had to think of a song we sang years ago, used to sing. I don't know if I've ever sang it recently. It goes something like this. You've probably heard it before. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from the world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wants, that's wow. If we laid out all of our wants before God, I wonder what he'd say. I mean, are you really wanting to be, or am I really wanting to be like Daniel? Am I really wanting to be all that he wants me to be spiritually? See, that's the good life. That's the life that he leads. That's the life of courage. That's the life of blessing. It's the only life worth living. Sweet hour of prayer. You know, on a bad day, could we even say sweet minutes of prayer? Sweet minutes of prayer. If you had a little short blessing, 30 seconds to a minute, three of those, that gets you a couple minutes. See, there's a direct correlation to my spiritual strength and my time with God on my knees. There's a direct correlation. If we want victory, and only victory counts as spiritual victory, we're going to have to be people that love to pray, that love to maintain that relationship with God. We realize that it is warfare. Now, when it says in Acts 3:1, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. They went up the temple at the hour of prayer. As I let God diagnose my life a number of years ago, I found out two things kept me from prayer, the most of them. One was pride. I can handle this. You know, I've been down the road. You know, just like I hear my grandchildren say now, I wasn't just born yesterday and just 4 years old. But well, what, how great profound wisdom. Well, from the lips of babes, you know. Well, sometimes we act like that when we're 18, sometimes act like 28, and sometimes act like when we're 60. You know what? Even if you wasn't just born yesterday, you need the Lord every minute of every day, correct? If you don't, you're not going to radiate of his glory, and so we get that privilege. And it's pride that makes us think, well, you know, we come in these times, tough times, and we don't know what to do. We're glibly going along through the other times, probably with a rancid case of lukewarmness, probably, if we're not praying. I know that's what we are, because that's a real sign of lukewarmness. And we're barely along, and you know, I can handle this. Things going pretty smooth. You know, I mean, the business is doing well. I go to church, you know, once or twice a day. I read my Bible a few minutes and say a prayer on the fly, and I'm good to go. So, yeah, you know, that could easily be a rank lukewarm lifestyle. It could easily be. In fact, we're not fervent prayer. I know that it is a rank lukewarm lifestyle. I know it is. Do you know, almost every time a person has confessed that they say, and maybe this has happened to you, it's happened to me. You know, reading the Bible, boy, I don't care, that's boring. That's boring stuff. Now you're talking about the Bible, okay? That's a tough thing. I mean, it might be, I mean, there's a few seconds. Genealogies aren't my, you know, claim of fame, I will admit, or highest interest. But, you know, when it gets a little mundane and boring, almost every time prayer is dwindled to a little formality or almost stopped. Check it out. I know that for myself, and I've been told that's very true. Yeah. See, saints that want to live for the Lord, they love Jesus, and it shows in their prayer life. It shows in their prayer life. They want to serve him, and they don't just say it. They show it by practice. By practice. And so, you know, they want to have a focus on Jesus. They know that we need him. We cannot have a successful day And may I put that in the spiritual terms? A lot of times we say successful day if, you know, the cows are milking well, or the corn did this, or whatever, you know, business you're in, you know. A successful day is walking all day with Jesus. Is that a successful day for you? It is for God's people. We cannot have a successful day without diligent prayer. Can't have it. Because he's, you know, to imagine he has all that power, all that wisdom, all that discernment, and all that enabling grace for you, and it's all available when we pray. And it's all there just lost, doing you no good if you don't pray, because that's how you tap into it. It's just amazing how good God works, how much he cares about us. And really, he wants us to know how much we need him, because we need him all the time. You know, I hear people, sometimes I hear people, we need to pray, we go on. I have found out in my own spiritual walk, I like to pray, like to have a message, a whole message like this, on prayer at least once a year. You know why? Because I'm prone to slip away. I need to be reminded of what God wants. The clock moves faster than the sermon, okay? You know the thing. You know the end of the story. You know why the lions didn't touch him? Because he was a man of God. He was a prayer warrior. Let me tell you, if he was a lukewarm church member like we sometimes get into, I think that they'd have ate him up before he got to the bottom. I firmly believe it. This man, we know this huge miracle that they didn't touch him, and that because you know what? He was walking with God. Now that's no guarantee. And Daniel didn't care about it. He cared more about staying in tune with God and doing what's right, because whether he died before he got to the bottom of the den or 10 years later made no difference. He was going to live with Jesus forever. And that's all that counts. That's all that counts. That's so beautiful. And you know what? He says, look, this is a beautiful example. And he said, you know what? You can be that beautiful example. We together can do this. What would happen in our congregations if all of us were fervently praying for the lost in our communities? What would happen? I think it'd be amazing things would happen if we all were diligent about that. How about the inroads of carnality and worldliness in my heart? What if we got down on our knees and prayed about that diligently? Would that change things? I think it would. I think God has something to say to us. But you know what? It's so easy to get busy. We got to make a living. I'm telling you, friends, when it comes to the end of your life, if you and I are like Daniel, you'll know you had a life well spent and you have a future to look forward to. And what a blessing. We can be that way. Let's bow our heads for prayer.